And then turning to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, we'll start reading at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Amen. Beloved congregation, a new season of instruction has come upon us for many faster than they thought it was going to be. The stores have not allowed us to forget that we need to go back to school, even though in a sense during the summer we did not stop learning. Perhaps we learned differently. We've been outdoors more than indoors perhaps. But the outdoors has a lot to tell us and teach us as well. Yet tomorrow many of our children begin school again, and many young people, college, university, seminary lectures begin on Tuesday, I believe, and in a few weeks Sunday school and catechism classes will begin again here as well. The teaching of God's word to the next generation is something the Bible is greatly concerned about. It's not just occasionally mentioned in the scriptures, but you could say throughout the scriptures. Think of God speaking about Abram doing this very thing, teaching his children. Genesis 18 verse 19, God says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Many of the laws that God gave to Israel address again this very area. And the familiar passage that many of you have hanging somewhere in your home on the wall, the words of Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Think of the many psalms that also sing of teaching our children. We just sang from Psalm 34, 78. And there are many other psalms. Think of 119. It's essentially all about it, isn't it? And then you may add the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, to mention just some. Or if you think of the New Testament, you think of the teaching of the Lord Jesus. But think also of the teaching by Timothy's mother, teaching her son and his grandma, teaching her grandson Timothy. And much more could be mentioned. And then we have the well-known words in Ephesians 6 verse 4. In a measure also spelled out in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The Apostle Paul says, fathers, that your task, your responsibility. And in many ways in marriage, it's a shared responsibility. My mother as well. A delegated duty. A parental responsibility. Namely to nurture and to educate and to train and to admonish the children. And the church is to be involved in it in the measure that the church cannot take this task from you and say, we'll do it for you. The church is to support the home in this regard and to teach in order to support mom and dad as parents, their calling from God. That's what God says in His Word. Fathers, mothers, you bring them up. You nurture them. You admonish them. That's the Lord's calling to do so. Being given to you and to me to impart this to our children and grandchildren. You will know that the Lord Jesus Christ held the threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. And parents, Christian parents, also hold that threefold office. And how does that come across in our homes? Well, as priests, we pray, or at least we are to pray, for our children. And as kings, we rule, and we guard, and we guide our children. But as prophets, we, as fathers and mothers, we are to teach our children. And that's especially what we wish to look at this morning from the scriptures, from our text, as we are getting ready for a new season then this week for school and home, instruction in the home, and also in church. And our text is Deuteronomy 6. Verse 6 through 9 in a sense, but specifically the verses 6 and 7, these words. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We'll use the theme for our text, teach them diligently. Teach them diligently. And we'll consider, first of all, the content of this teaching, the manner, secondly, of this teaching, then the focus of this teaching, and fourthly, the urgency in this teaching, and then some final brief applications. So teach them diligently, and we'll consider the content, the manner, the focus, and the urgency of and in this teaching with some application. The content. Moses has been a teacher for Israel for many years. Here in Deuteronomy, he is saying farewell to his people. Joshua will be the new leader. But the matter of teaching is not to be just left with Joshua and perhaps another 70 men in Israel. God, by the mouth of Moses, says this teaching is to be in every family. The father, together with the mother. Our text is taken from the beginning chapters of Deuteronomy. Part of that farewell speech, long speech of Moses. And in chapter 1, 2, 3 and 4, he has briefly retold the history of Israel. In chapter 5, he repeated, as we heard this morning, the Ten Commandments that the Lord had given them 40 years earlier on Horeb. And now here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what Moses does is he teaches a summary of the law. And he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. There you could say, there he tells Israel the heart of what God wants his people to know. And what he wants them to teach Israel. And isn't that exactly what Christ does in the New Testament when they ask him, which is the weightiest commandment? And then Jesus mentions to remember, but he mentions this one first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And then the second one is likened unto it. And then he says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So our text this morning gets us to the very heart of the Word of God, congregation. And the remarkable thing is that in our text is the place where God begins to speak about children and the need to teach children. You see how much a priority the children are for the Lord, and how important it is to instruct the children. When Moses is speaking about the most important things in life, the law of God, he, as it were, turns to the young people and the children. And he points to them, as then next he looks at the parents and he says, parents, teach these things to your children. Don't forget it. These things are also for them. They need to know those things. Don't assume that they'll pick it up somewhere along the way. Don't let them waste their young years. And don't think that their minds are still too young to teach them these things, these truths of God's Word for life, here and for eternity. You could say here we have a picture of Moses, God speaking through Moses. In the New Testament, don't we see something similar? For example, in Matthew chapter 18, where the Lord Jesus took the children. Remember? What did he do? He took the children into his arms, did he not? And much to the chagrin of his disciples, Jesus began to busy himself with those little ones. Whereas the disciples had showed quite a different spirit. But Jesus Christ, like Moses, had a heart for the children. And he saw the great importance of teaching them when they were young the things of God and of his Christ and of his law and of his word and of his work. For what are we to teach our children? What is the content of that teaching? And the Lord says it very plainly in our text. He says, these words which I command thee this day, thou shalt teach them unto thy children. So the words that God has spoken, the word that he has given with the authority, God's authority, those words we are to teach our children. Now let's consider what that means. It means that you fathers and you mothers must teach our children, your children, the great doctrines of the Christian faith. And it begins with this first doctrine, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, as we read it this morning. The Lord our God is one Lord. So teach your children about God. The Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God is one Lord. Teach them the names of God, the perfections or the attributes of God, the will of God, the plan of God. Teach them about man, God's creature in His image, created to glorify God. And teach your children about sin and about Satan and evil. And teach your children about their evil hearts and God's commandments that uncover to their sin. And teach your children about the new birth. The new birth. Their need of a new birth. And the possibility of a new birth. And the promise of God written out on their foreheads. The promise of God for a new birth. And how they may also learn to pray for it, as mom and dad do. And how then you may know about that new birth. And how you may know that you are born again. Teach your children those things. And teach them about the two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Teach them about Jesus Christ and His salvation, redemption by His blood and righteousness. Teach him about the cross of Jesus and the resurrection. And what those things mean for everyday life. Teach him about prayer. And teach your children to pray. Teach them the Word of God. To read the Word of God. And to explore the Word of God. And to meditate on the Word of God. And to apply the Word of God. And to memorize the Word of God. Teach them about the life of faith and hope and love. And teach them about the future of the people of God, as well as the future of those who reject the gospel of God. Teach your children about the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. And teach them about the privileges of going to church to hear God's Word. Teach them about the sacraments that God has ordained, holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. Teach them about marriage and who they should look for marriage. Teach them about the dangers all around them and how their hearts are open to those dangers. Teach them about the many in this world without any knowledge of God and of Christ and the burden that we as parents should have. And that may become the burden of our children. Also for the neighbor boy who doesn't go to church. And the many others lost. There you have a summary, you could say, of the content. God doesn't leave the content up to you to figure out. Imagine you had to think of what to teach your children without the Bible. What should I teach my kids? I better get a book on philosophy and study the deep things of thinking. Then maybe I can tell my children something. No, no. There are people who think that way. not Christians. The Bible is the textbook. Together with what God has revealed in His creation. Remember, those two books are the revelation of God. We don't need to come up with our own curriculum for our children. God gives it in His Word. It's full. It's deep. It's also simple. It's clear. A child can understand the basics. And we older ones can never learn it all. Well, here's the content, congregation, of what we are to teach them. Now, the manner, how are we to teach our children? Let me say up front, make sure that it is not merely a mechanical, abstract kind of instruction and process of learning lists, and you treat your little children almost like the military drilling. Don't teach your children in a cold, mechanical way. Don't think that your children are like computers. You need to put some program in there, some information into your computer, and then you... No. What is the way to teach our children the Word of God? Moses mentions in our text three things about how to do it. First of all, he says, do it by way of conversation. Verse 7, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see the picture here, congregation, that's given to us. That you teach your children in an ordinary way, as you live, and as you do your duties. Teaching your children is not only that you say, okay, this afternoon, every day, by the way, from 1 till 3, I want you to sit down. I'm going to teach you. And for the rest, you're on your own. And from 1 to 3, your little boy or girl sits alone in that room. Maybe by way of some computer program, learning. And then that boy thinks, my dad wants me to learn this and I have no idea. What is this world about? And Moses says, do it by conversation. While you are doing your normal duties and routines, when you get up in the morning, and your little boy gets up in the morning, maybe he's already at your bedside before you get up. By way of conversation, when you travel, maybe together on a bike or in a car, do it when you are working together and he's helping you. And you say to your daughter, you think you can help mom? We're going to bake cookies today. Well, today is Sunday, but tomorrow we're going to bake. Just in the ordinary, normal things of life. Don't let spiritual instruction be put into an artificial setting. But you converse with your children when you together dig in the garden. Or the shed needs to be painted. And you say, you can help that. And then you converse with one another. Today we're going to pick strawberries, you say. You do it together. You know, you go over to that field and daddy will be... And you talk when you go and visit grandma and grandpa. And you eat your meals. Or you go for a hike along the beach or in the forest. Or mountains. But whatever legitimate tasks and privileges the Lord gives us, talk with one another about God and about His Word and what God expects and what we need and so on. In other words, teach in the reality of life, using life, using the things of life as your object lessons. From their earliest days, your children are watching. They stand there, and you are working, and they look. Don't simply send them off to play. Not that that is wrong. But while you do these things together, and the children are learning as they are watching you, and as they ask you something and you answer that question, unconsciously these children pick up from dad and mom what they need to know, what they need to believe and love and hope, and what trust they are to have and expectation. So that's the first way to do it, by conversation. And the second way, Moses says, is by reading. At least listen to his words in verse 8. He says, these words shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now the Jews took this quite literally. They had a part of the law of God, the great commandments of God, on a tiny piece of paper. And they wrote it and put it into a little container between their eyes. That was not what Moses meant, what God meant. The point was that the word of God was to be freely and to us, is to be freely accessible to us and to our children, so that it's continually before their eyes. Let me suggest to you a very practical principle, educational principle, that they even use in secular education. Surround your children with good books. You know the saying that a man is known by the kind of books he reads, as well as the company he keeps. How true that is for children. Because a child becomes what his mind feeds upon. So surround your children with good books. The late Dr. Lloyd-Jones used to say, let your children read good biographies. Biographies, life stories, will appeal to them and guide their reading in various ways. Turn their minds in the right direction. Familiarize them with the glories of the Christian faith in action. And so, when we, as it were, pile the books around our children, let's make sure that the books we pile around them, that those books meet the demands of the great principle, that the word of God shall be between their eyes, so that they are trained to read the Holy Scriptures, that they are trained to read the Scriptures habitually and encouraged to read the Scriptures constantly, the word of God. And books about the word of God. Some years ago our children were much younger, remember we bought two books by John Talek, and they're still around. God Made Them Great and They Shall Be Mine. Wonderful stories for children, and there are many others like those. So teach them. First of all, by conversation, as I said, and secondly, by reading. And then Moses mentions yet a third way how to teach these children diligently to our children. He says, do it by answering their questions. Verse 20, which we did not read, but it's there. Verse 20, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Now, I recognize that parents can get tired of all the questions that their children put to them. But be careful in you being tired. Because by you getting tired, you can give him the inkling, Dad doesn't want me to ask him all these questions. Be thankful when your children ask you the one question after the other. To use a metaphor from baseball, think of all these questions from your children as a ball that gets pitched to you. And you answer those questions in such a way that you teach your children. And if you don't feel like it, then you are like somebody who really drops the bat. And then your child will go to somebody else to pitch the ball and to get it really thrown far. Well, this much about the manner. Let's move on to our next two points, more briefly perhaps. The focus of our teaching. We are concerned to be the means of God, to plant God's word. It's a work of God, but the means to plant God's word into their heart by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit. That's what you read. Moses in verse 6 says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." David uses that phrase in Psalm 119, doesn't he? 119 verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." That's to be the great focus of our teaching, the things of God to our children. It's not merely that our children get a big head, as it were. Simply a head with a lot of knowledge. But the focus is that through that teaching, blessed by the Lord, that our children may have the Word of God hidden at work in their hearts. And to that end, the late Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, what we have to do is to make Christianity attractive. Give our children the impression that the most wonderful thing in the world is Christianity, that there is nothing comparable to being a Christian. We should, as it were, under God, as it were, create a desire in our children to be like Daddy, like Mommy, and not only till they are 5 and 6, but all the years of their life. They see us, and if they see us knowing God and His Christ and walking by His Word with heart and soul and in joy and cheerfulness, so that our children learn to marvel at it. Dad has something. Mom has something. I want to have that too. I long to be as they are. As they obviously walk with the Lord by His Word. And practically speaking, that means first of all that the focus is this. That they, as we, will not forget the Lord our God. That's what Moses says in verse 12. Again, we didn't read that, but you will know the words. He says, "Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You see, the Lord had just taken them 40 years earlier from Egypt, that house of bondage. And they had traveled for 40 years to the wilderness and were on the threshold of entering the promised land. This is a great day in their life. Going to a new country of milk and honey with all the riches. But the Lord says to Moses, astonishingly now, there is a danger that you will forget the Lord your God. So your focus should be that this will not happen, not for your children either. And then secondly, there is another warning in verse 14. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are around you. Clear? And thirdly, the focus is that we and our children would know and love the Lord, our God, in our very hearts. Verse 5 and 6, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and these words shall be in thine heart. Thine heart. So that our children may come to know what? The love of God, which is in Jesus Christ through his cross, his blood, and his resurrection, and his ascension is the ultimate focus. And everything short of that is too short, however good in itself, mind you. But do you and do I and do our children, and is that our prayer, that our children may love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, and his Son Jesus Christ, and his blood. Has the teaching of our parents, perhaps years ago, been blessed to that end? That should remain the ultimate focus. And let me quickly go to the fourth point, the urgency. Moses says, teach them diligently. Diligently. And the Lord emphasizes it. He's not content with you as a father and as a mother doing it with low energy or with low priority or with a half heart. No, diligently. What does that mean? Diligently. I'll use the picture of you have an employee at work. And she or he is very diligent. You get to work in the morning, and she's there already, or he's there, already at work. And working, it seems, day after day, proactively, always looking for ways to improve and to help and to get the job done. It's a diligent employee, right? Not somebody who, is the time for a break? Oh, 15 more minutes. No. Diligence. And teaching our children diligently does not mean that we have to spend the whole evening from 8 till 12 at night to prepare for what we're going to teach our children the next day and then wear out everybody's patience. No, that's heavy-handed. Needs to be natural, as it were, authentic, genuine, real, but diligent all the time. All the time. Now, as I close, congregation, perhaps one of you or more have a question. This question, you say, I'm a mom, I'm a father, but my problem is I'm not a good teacher. I just don't know how to do this. Well, let me try this answer. I hope you understand the answer. God says to you, teach them diligently. If you are a parent, You are a teacher. And God can give you all you need to do it. Remember, it's not something that takes deep learning in the wrong sense of the word. You know what it takes? It takes dependence on God. On God. On His Word. And it takes this, that you start speaking with your son, your children, in the little things of life about God and His Word. You know, the best teachers are not the long-winded teachers or the deepest thinking teachers. But the best teachers are the teachers who teach with their hands. Who every day, in the little things, point to God and to Jesus Christ and His Word. Maybe someone else says, but Pastor, my children aren't a little anymore, they're grown up. And I look back and I say, oh, I've done such a poor job. Well, my dear brother and sister, find ways to tell your children that you have done such a poor job. But find ways to tell them also what our text tells us. When you sit down with them, talk about these things. When you rise and walk and talk and travel and play golf and go fishing or shopping. In the ebb and the flow of every day. And next time when it's Thanksgiving dinner, for instance, take some time and say, we've had this lovely meal. Mom, you've done a wonderful job. Ah, many have helped. But I'd like to say something about God. And thanksgiving to Him. And tomorrow, it takes a phone call to your daughter or son and talk with them. Not, what have you been up to? Talk with them. I was in church yesterday. And I just wanted to share with you the Word of God. God can use it. Someone says, but I feel the need to be taught myself. That's a good sign, my brother and sister. And let me close with this. Do you think that God would tell us, fallen, sinful parents, to teach our children, but that God Himself would not be willing to teach us how to do it? God is such a perfect teacher. His Son is the prophet. In Him is all you need. Use your mouth to speak His Word. And when there is a day in your life that you have no voice left, you had a stroke, you lie in the hospital, children stand around your bed, can't speak, you take your little finger, point to Him. And today pray, Lord, show me Thy ways. Teach me Thy paths. And let these words be in my heart. And let me talk with my children by the way, by life's way. Teach Thou me, and I shall be taught and teach others. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, Thou art the teacher, the perfect teacher of Thy people. Thou, Word and art able, we find ourselves, as we look back We've come so incredibly short. We confess our sin, but we thank Thee for teaching us in this morning to do which has been so sin-stained in our lives. And we treasure that in Thy blood there is pardon for our shortcomings. And pray for Thy Holy Spirit to teach us to use our lips in season, out of season, to speak of and point to Thee, and to hear others speak of Thee. O, let Thy Spirit be our constant aid throughout the day, and bless us, O God, with the teaching ministry, and Thou shalt be blessed forever. In Jesus' name, Amen.